May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in the risen one. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Our text is the gospel from Luke 24, the resurrection appearance of our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we are so blessed when we hear your word and when we keep it. Help us always as your people to hear your word in faith, with gladness, with eagerness, and may we keep it in our living by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Repeat after me. Alleluia.
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 Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Keep that one going a little bit. Glory be to the Father.
Glory be to the Father.
And to the Son.
And to the Son.
And to the Holy Spirit.
And to the Holy
Spirit. As it was in the beginning.
Is now.
And will be forever.
Amen.
We know, as the church, as Christians, what to shout and what to sing in the Easter season. Today is the third Sunday of Easter. Easter isn't just one day and then we're done with it. It's a season, and really it's every day, for He is alive, right? And in this season, we know what to shout and sing. Hallelujah, He is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. We can't praise the Lord enough for His death and His resurrection that gives us salvation, eternal life. Today, though, I want us to consider what the risen Lord has to say to us. We have much to say to Him, and rightly so. What does the risen one really have to say to us? In Luke 24, what's He had to say to His scared, troubled disciples? To make this real simple today, there are three words He wants to share. And He's among us scared, troubled people too. Three words: why, I, and by. Now, can you get that? Repeat after me. Why, I, and by. That sums up the message of the risen one to us. First of all, the Lord, as our brother, our Savior, our friend, would look at each one of us, perhaps put His arms on our shoulders, look us in the eye, and say, why? Why? It's a common question that is asked in the Easter season. In the gospel today, the Lord appears His disciples, and one of the first things He says is, why? Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Why? You go back earlier in Luke 24, and the angels ask the women at the tomb, why do you seek the living among the dead? In John's gospel, Jesus asked Mary Magdalene, why are you crying? Why are you troubled? Why? The disciples, as us, had two big problems they were facing. And these two big problems were suffocating them, and these problems can suffocate us and just strangle the life right out of us. One big problem was fear. These men in Luke 20 were very, very afraid. John's gospel tells us they were behind locked doors, which probably means they had barricaded themselves in, is probably what it means. They didn't just simply turn a lock like we do in some way. They barricaded the door. No one was getting in. They were afraid of the Jews, afraid of the Romans, afraid of death, of their own cross, afraid of persecution. The Jews and Romans may come after them next, after they killed Jesus, after all. They were afraid. You know, Dear Abby at one time was asked what was the most common problem people ask her about, wanting her counsel. And she said right away, by far the most common problem people have that they want help with is fear. They're afraid of things, and they don't know what to do. And so what are you so afraid of today? The risen one, notice He stood among them. He doesn't hover over them in judgment to scare them. He doesn't stand in the corner to say, I'm mad at you guys for deserting me. He stood among them. He's their brother, their Savior. He loves them. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid, He is saying. I've overcome the Jews. I've overcome the Romans, the cross, the suffering, the pain, persecution. I've overcome all things for you, sin, death, and hell. What's there to be afraid of? I'm right here. You have me, there's nothing to be afraid of. These beautiful spring days remind me of when I played Little League baseball. I was a pretty good Little League ball player. And I like to pitch. I like to play shortstop, second base. But you know my favorite position was playing catcher. Anybody here play, boys, girls, you play catcher? Nobody wants to be the catcher. I wanted to be the catcher. Because you're in the action and people say, why do you want to be a catcher? You squat, you get all dirty and sweaty. The ball hits you, people run over you if they're trying to score. Why do you want to be a catcher? I love to be a catcher because you had all that equipment on. And I felt invincible. The catcher's mask, who's going to get me with that catcher's mask on? And the chest protector and the knee pads and a big, thick glove. Who's going to mess with Paul Buescher? If only I had that stuff when my brothers were around, I'd be all right. I felt invincible. I was protected. And the Lord, staying among his scared disciples, is saying, I'm your protection. I'm your refuge, your strength. I'll stand with you wherever we go. Ephesians tells us the equipment we have, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. We are protected. Why are you so afraid when the Lord is risen? And another big problem the disciples had was guilt. These are troubling problems when you're afraid and then you have guilt on top of it. They felt very, very guilty because they had all deserted Jesus. They had all denied him in their own way. Peter, of course, denied him 3 times, just right there. What enormous guilt these men must have had. They all said they would die with him, but they all left him and deserted him. They had great, great guilt. And the Lord knows us. He loves them. So the first words, as Pastor mentioned in the children's message, the first words of the risen one, peace be with you. Right off the bat, I'm not here to condemn you. He doesn't say pain be with you or punishment be upon you because you all deserted me, a bunch of rascals. He says peace be with you. You're forgiven. I'm not going to hold it against you. The past is forgiven. You're washed. You're clean by my blood. Now stand up, guys. I imagine he stands among them because they're all slouching. They're all in grief and sorrow, lying down or slouching, bent over. He stands. Get up, guys. Stand up. Face life. Face it. You're forgiven. You're free. I'm here. What's there to be afraid of and why are you so guilty? Because you're forgiven of your sins. Now let's get going. How many of you walk around in life like this? Is that how you walk around in life? You have a bad back, I guess. We don't want to walk around in life slumped over, looking behind ourselves. And yet a lot of people, that's how they live life. They're slumped over, bearing the great weight of guilt. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. They have tremendous guilt, and they're always looking at their past. Oh, my. Look at all that wretched stuff I did in my past. The Lord have us stand up. Face the future. The past is forgiven. It's washed and cleansed by his blood. And live your life and face your fears. Why are you so afraid? Why so guilt-ridden? The next thing the risen Lord would say to us is, I. He shouts in the text, I. Specifically, literally, I am. The real center of this Easter gospel today, the real meat of it, the most important part of it, is when the Lord says, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Not really a good translation here. Really it means I am myself. The I am stands out here. He is saying, I am, disciples, I am myself, I am. Now, what do you think back of when you hear the words I am? You think back to Moses. This is intended by Jesus. Back to the burning bush. And there God called scared, troubled Moses to be his disciple, to be his prophet, to go proclaim salvation to the Israelites and rescue them from Egypt. And now he's with a bunch of scared disciples who don't want to do anything either. They're huddled up and scared. And Moses asked God, well, what's your name? If people ask, what's your name? What's your name? And what did God say? I am that I am. And now Jesus says, I am. Meaning he is the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of creation. He's the God of Moses. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Job, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. He is the God of the Old Testament. And that God now, not in a burning bush out in a desert, but a God in a risen body who's overcome sin, death, and hell. Not merely overcome Egypt and slavery and the Canaanites. That was easy for God to pass over. God now in Christ has overcome sin and death, the devil and all of hell. And no longer to stay away from him like Moses. You're on holy ground, take off your sandals, stay away. Now, touch me and see. Get close to me. You don't have to be away from God anymore. Keep your distance. Come and touch me. Remind us of Holy Communion. Come and touch. Baptism. Come and touch. Come close. I am your God. I've claimed you. Throughout the Bible, the New Testament, God wants to teach us that Jesus is no mere man, no mere good teacher, no mere prophet, but he is God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity. You go back to the Annunciation to Mary. Gabriel told Mary, the one born of you will be called the Son of the Most High. When he was born, the angel shouted, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There it is. God the Father at Jesus' baptism said, this is my Son whom I love. That's who he is, my Son. Peter confessed when asked, who do you say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The centurion, by all means, the centurion at the cross said, surely this man was the Son of God. And now the great climax, Jesus says, I am. If you didn't get it before, by all that I did and said, get it now, I rose from the dead, I am your God, the second person of the Trinity in human flesh that saved you and delivered you. I am the Christ, the Messiah. Believe in me and be saved. That's the real center of this entire text, the great I am of Jesus. You know, there have been a lot of great predictions in the history of the world. I think I have a few predictions in my lifetime or a little earlier than me. What did Babe Ruth predict? Didn't he point to the outfield with his bat and said, I'm going to hit a home run next pitch? Famous Babe Ruth story. He pointed with his bat, I'm going to hit a home run, and smack, he hit the home run the next pitch. Wow! Babe Ruth. What did Joe Willie Namath predict? Football fans. He predicted the Jets would win the Super Bowl when they were an underdog. Man, he predicted that. Wow, and they won the Super Bowl. Man, incredible! Pat Hines, our beloved brother, is not here today. He predicted North Carolina would win the NCAA basketball tournament. Incredible, huh? Wasn't a real risky pick, though, was it? We're happy if the weatherman predicts the weather right, aren't we? At least gets half the day right for us. You know, we're hesitant to make predictions in these days. You know, Lane Kiffin's not making any more predictions, is he? Just keep quiet. Don't predict anything. You put yourself out there on a limb, and you get chopped off. Jesus made the prediction of predictions. He predicted that he would die and on the third day rise again. What kind of person predicts that? They're going to die and rise on the third day? And he did it. He is the I am, the Son of God, the Christ, the Lord, the way, the truth, the life. Believe in him, be baptized in him, and you shall be saved. Why I? And then he says, bye. Goodbye. Get going. Bye. You got a job to do. The end of the text. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and then he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, just like I predicted, has happened, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, and you are witnesses to these things. And behold, soon I'll send you the Holy Spirit who will give you power to do it all. Christ is not there real long with these guys. He's not there real long. Here, I'm alive. Peace be with you. You're forgiven. Touch me. See, I'm really here. I've saved you. Now get going, guys. We got a world to save. We got millions and billions of people who don't know. Get going. Goodbye. Got a message to share. The disciples can't stay huddled up in a room the rest of their lives scared. They got to go out and carry on their mission. You know, I heard this week on the radio where Americans are staying put. Did you know that? This past year, less Americans moved than previous years, many, many years. People aren't moving. Our real estate people would tell us that, wouldn't they? They're staying put. They're playing it safe in this bad economy. They're not moving. Well, the church never plays it safe, folks. The church never stays put and says, well, we've done our job, pat ourselves on the back. The church is always on the move. This week, you will have the opportunity, if not several opportunities, to speak to someone about Jesus Christ. It'll be right there in front of you to tell someone a simple message about Jesus Christ, who's your Lord and Savior. It might be somebody at work, in your neighborhood, a family member. It'll be right there, the opportunity. Will you make the move or will you stay put? This week, you'll have the opportunity, your opportunities, to help someone with a problem. They'll be right there. They got a problem. They're in need. They have a heavy burden. And you can listen and help them through this. It'll take time and effort, but you can do it. It'll be right there. Will you make the move or will you stay put? This week, you'll have some fight, some tussle with somebody. And you'll have the opportunity to forgive them and to tell them, I forgive you, to make peace, to reconcile with that person. Will you make the move and really make peace and forgive and confess your sins? Will you do that or will you stay put and be angry the rest of your life about it? In other words, this week you'll have opportunity after opportunity, 24/7, to love and to love and to love and to love and to love this dark, sinful world, to love your enemy, to love your neighbor, to love your family member, to love. Will you make the move or will you stay put and let somebody else do it? You know, Easter, 2 weeks ago, sunrise service, we got a real nice compliment I want to pass on. We had a young man here, middle-aged man here, for sunrise service at 7 o'clock. He came a little early, and he stays down at the rescue mission. He normally goes to church down there, but he came to our church sunrise. And I said, it's nice to have you here. Welcome. Why'd you come today? What brought you? He said, well, your people come down and feed at the rescue mission, and they seem like a bunch of nice people. So I wanted to come. That's the type of reputation you want to have. A bunch of nice people that care, that show mercy, that forgive, that'll help the helpless, that'll love people. I passed it on. That made my Easter sunrise service for a little while. The whole Easter was great. Bunch of nice people. Jesus was kind, nice, forgiving. So were his witnesses. When in all that we say and do, whether at the rescue mission or at the ballpark or wherever, we are kind, nice, forgiving, caring, peaceful people. We know what to shout in the Easter season. Alleluia!
Alleluia.
Praise the Lord!
Praise
he is risen!
He is
risen. Let's remember what Jesus shouts, if you will. Why? Why are you so troubled today when he's alive? I am your God who's claimed you and conquered all things for you. And by, share my love with all others. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's rise and confess our faith. The words of the Apostles' Creed inside of the back cover of your hymnal. Let's do this today.